Okay, so I'm going to go to Psalm 43. And this is where David was crying out to God. And hang on a second, I'm just going to read to you that particular scripture. So give me a second. So Psalm 43, this was a prayer for deliverance. And so this was written by David. I didn't do the research. I don't remember exactly at what point of his life that he wrote this. Oh, you know what? Before we get started, and I'm not going to be on here very long, but I'm going to be on long enough to say hello to a couple of people. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come into this moment and be with us. Holy Spirit, we just yield to you and we yield every part of our lives to you. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that your word would become alive and living and active in our lives every moment of every day. Lord, your word says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it is living and active, and that it literally divides asunder soul and spirit. And it has the power to produce new life, to bring new life, to breathe new life into every area of our lives. And so, Lord, we just call upon that now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, as I just release a little bit of encouragement from Psalm 43, that you would speak specifically to your sons and daughters, that you would breathe new life into them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. So, first of all, that scripture. In fact, I'm going to look that one up really quickly as well. Let's see. The word, whoops, be nice if I could spell word of God is living and active. I know a lot of scripture. I just haven't always recorded the address of it. So that is Hebrews 4:12. All right, so we're going to go there also. Give me just a second. So blue, by the way, blueletterbible.org is one of my favorite Bible study tools. What did I say? That was Hebrews 4:12. By the way, as you come in and say hello to me. It is so annoying to have people that are lurkers. They just watch and they don't say anything. All right, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Now, I could preach a whole sermon on that one scripture, but I just want to point your attention to where it says that the word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So, what does that mean? So, I'm going to tell you. I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to tell you what that means. All right. So, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So, spirit. So, we are triune beings, just like God. We are triune beings, right? So, we are body, soul, spirit, right? So, we know what our physical body is, our flesh, right? We know that our spirit is that eternal part of us that is forever either going to live in the presence of God or in Hades, depending on what decision that we have made with our lives, depending on whether or not we have invited the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, dependent on whether we have given him the authority and the right to have leadership and management over all of the affairs of our lives, right? Okay. And so, but soul, our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. It is our soul that is constantly in this process or this necessity of a process of being renewed by the word of God, of being renewed in his presence. And so when it says that the word of God is living and active and it is powerful even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, what that means is that our spirit, that eternal part of us that will forever live in the presence of God, if you are saved and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you know that, hello, I don't know how to say your name, dear. Natanya, hello, how are you today? So the word of God is powerful enough to divide asunder soul and spirit. So our spirit man, that part of us that loves God, that part of us that loves him without any encumbrances of the flesh, that part of us that is going to live forever in his presence when our physical body is no more, okay? That part of us, hello, that part of us knows that everything in the word of God is true and it doesn't question it, okay? But soul is our mind, will, and emotions. That's the part of us that constantly gets jacked up by the enemy, right? So because we live in a fallen world, because Satan is the prince of he is the prince of the power of the air. He is constantly at work, roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means not everybody is devourable. You need to decide in your heart that you want to become undevourable. And that is a possibility, okay? So the scripture that I'm sharing from is Psalm 43, and it's where David cried out and he said, I'm going to read that to you right now. But what I want you to know is that living in God's supernatural grace, his favor, his love, his joy, his peace, physical health, financial wealth. By the way, financial wealth doesn't just come from making a lot of money. It also comes from having your soul healed. It also comes from being generous. It also means that as God pours more into you, that you're willingly pour more into others. I wasn't going to talk about that today. I'm not sure why I said that. But anyway, so even those of us who have a full-time calling to ministry or even marketplace ministry, even we have to spend daily time in the presence of God, allowing him to just pour himself out upon us, allowing that word of God to divide asunder soul, our mind, will, and emotions from spirit, that part of us that absolutely knows that the truth of God's word are yay and amen, okay? All right, so now I'm going to go to the encouragement I had hoped to give. Oh, and by the way, whether you're watching this as I give it live or whether you are watching the replay, please do me a favor, share it, like it, love it, make a comment. Anytime you make a comment, it boosts the algorithm of any video. Okay, so here we go, Psalm 43. It says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation and deliver me from deceitful and unjust men. For you, O Lord, are my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? That's how he was feeling. Like he was in this, hey, Tim, how are you? He is my buddy from Illinois who I think loves dogs even more than I do. But I have this fetish. I don't want to say fetish, but I have this preoccupation with TikTok videos of dogs, specifically bullies. And he happens to be an owner. But anyway, all right. So it says, why dost thou cast me off? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? So if I'm not mistaken, I believe this was a Psalm of David. And so he's really talking out of his flesh right now. He's feeling like, he goes, where are you, God? Where is the strength that I normally walk in from you? And he says, why have you cast me off? God didn't cast David off, but that's how his flesh felt at the moment. That's how his soul felt at the moment. That's how his mind, will, and emotions was kind of jacking with him, right? And he says, I go about mourning or crying or lamenting because of the oppression of the enemy. So, David encountered lots and lots of enemies throughout his time, his life. And there were many times, when he was overcome by the way that his enemies had risen up against him. And this is one of those moments where he's like, Jesus, I need your help, please, because these people are like vexing me, right? Okay. And so then he says, Lord, he goes, send your light and your truth. He says, let them, your light and your truth, let them lead me, right? He says, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacles. And so to God's tabernacles. So God, try that again. David said, let your light and your truth, let those things lead me. and bring me unto your holy hill, basically to the place of worship, and bring me to your tabernacles. To your tabernacles means so throughout history, especially in the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle of Moses, there was the tabernacle of David, there was the temple that Solomon built. And so there were various different houses of God. And so that's what he was talking about. He says, bring me into that place of divine fellowship, that place of divine communion with you that I find in your presence, right? Okay. And so he says, then I will go unto the altar of God, the place of sacrifice, the place of worship. He says, I will go unto my God with exceeding joy. And he says, on the harp, I will praise you, oh my God. So what happens is he begins to encourage himself in the Lord. And then in verse 5, he says, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? He goes, why are you so disquieted within me? And I'm going to expound on this in a second. He says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise you, you who are the health of my countenance and my God. Okay, again, if you are on here with me live, say hi. Don't just watch or listen to me talk, like be polite and say hi. But anyway, okay, so that's what David was saying. And so, you know, we can go from this place where in one moment we are, I don't know, we're feeling the manifest presence of Jesus on us, and in the next moment, we have a situation that like brings us from the heavenlies all the way down to like below zero, right? And so whether you're a believer or not, well, hopefully if you're a believer, I mean, you can say, if you don't know God, let me put it this way, you can say all of the positive affirmations in the world and you can still not have peace. You can listen to all of the most popular, inspirational, motivational speakers in the world and still not have true love and joy like permeating out of your soul. Okay. So anyway, so today I just turned my attention to Psalm 45, and it said again, and so I'm going to give you just a little bit of an exegesis of that particular verse. And so it says, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? So that word cast down literally means, it means to be bowed down, prostrated, or humbled by the enemy circumstances that you find yourself in. It literally means to be crouched down. It means to be mourning, like crying, you know, in depression type thing, right? Okay. Hold on a second. Then let me go back to use, there we go. It says, why are you disquieted within me? Oh, this is an interesting definition. This means to be murmuring or roaring or growling in the place of prayer. I'm reading to you the Strong's definition of that word. Like this is not Dawn's interpretation. It says to mean boisterous or turbulent. So when it says, why are you so downcast? He goes, why are you so turbulent within me? So this man was literally feeling a lot of internal chaos, a lot of internal frustration. How many of you throughout the course of your day experience some measure of frustration or irritation or just like where you want to go? I'm not the only one that experiences moments like that. So do me a favor. If you experience any of that in any course of a normal day, will you do me put a yes or a why in the comment section? Or if you are like completely walking God's love, joy, and peace without any sort of disturbance to that, then you can put a no. But anyway, okay, so he was asking, he was basically talking to himself, and he was like, you know, basically, David, why are you tripping? And so then what he says, put your hope in God. Okay, so that word hope, it means joyful, hopeful expectation. I'm going to say that again, joyful, hopeful expectation. But it always also means to tarry, to wait. One of the things that I've learned, I spend a lot of time with God every morning. I am not saying this to boast or anything like this. I literally need at least 2 hours in the presence of Jesus every morning for me to have a normal day. Like, I really need it. It's not like that is a badge of honor. Ooh, I spend that much time with God every day. No. What you don't understand is that is like my morning coffee. If I don't have that much time with Jesus, we are going to have a jacked up day for sure. But anyway, so it's that word also means to tarry and to wait. By trial and error, more error than trial, that sometimes, like, if we get impatient in the presence of God, like, we just want him to give us the answer right away. We want him to give us the solution right away. We want him to give us the provision right away. And he says, this is a relationship that I'm building with you. He goes, can you not just tarry for 1 hour? Can you not just sit here and just enjoy my presence? Can you not just sit here and feel my Father, Abba, Daddy's heart pouring out? And he goes, can you not just sit here and tarry for a minute? And so, so that's what is implied in this scripture. So hang on a second. So it says, put your hope in God. That word hope was everything that I just expressed, joyful expectation, but also in the place of tarrying and waiting. And he says, I shall yet praise him. I don't even know what that word praise is. Is that, that is yada, which means to cast out the hands in worship. Okay, really good Hebrew word for praise. I learned a long time ago, but here's the part I wanted to get to. He says, for you, O Lord, are the health of my countenance. That word health literally means welfare, prosperity, deliverance, salvation, victory. That word health means welfare, prosperity, salvation, deliverance, victory. He says, you, O Lord, are the health of my countenance. And that word countenance, which I don't think we should have to define, but we're going to anyway, means, it literally means your face. It literally means whether or not you are joyful and hopeful expectation, tarrying, waiting on God, or whether you are down in the dumps or like that, right? Okay. All right. So I just wanted to share the scripture with you today because we live in a jacked up world. Because we live in a world where the prince of the power of the air is has free reign to roam about the earth, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may try to upset your day, bring chaos into your day, bring doubt or fear or destruction into your day, bring calamity into your day. All of those things is everything that the enemy is constantly at war, trying to war against your soul, not your spirit. He can't have victory over your spirit. Your spirit is your spirit man, which if you are saved, has been reborn and will forever spend all of eternity in the presence of God. So the only thing that the enemy can war against is your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. So this is why, even if you don't have crazy things going on in your life, even if you don't have a lot of unhealed trauma in your past that hasn't been healed, by the way, that is my specialty. I mostly counsel, coach, and do therapy for mostly women that have either past sexual trauma or a narcissistic abuse in their past. And those type of traumas leave lingering effects that kind of follow them throughout their life until they get those things healed. But in the process of how I teach them, how I lead them, I'm not really the one that heals them. God is the one that heals them. I just lead them through a process that gets them to it faster than if they were to do it on their own. I have no idea why I suggest that. But anyway, part of the foundation of what I teach them as I am teaching them how to receive complete healing and wholeness and freedom from those past abuses, from those past egregious sins against their self-esteem or, you know, what have you, is I begin to teach them how to renew their mind in the Word of God and how to come out of agreement with negative past beliefs that have become core beliefs that are like these huge boulders or trees that are like all up inside their soul, which prevent them from receiving the goodness of God, that prevent them from believing in the goodness of God, and prevent them from living a life that is full of his love, joy, and peace, living a life that is full of his health, wealth, and prosperity, right? And so one of the major things that I teach them is how to renew their mind every day, so that they're not jacked up like David was here going, God, where are you? And he's going, but then finally he kind of gets his head together and he says, no. He says, Lord, let your light and your truth be that which leads me into victory. And then he literally talks to himself and he says, why are you so downcast? Why are you allowing all this chaos and turmoil to just kind of keep festering within you? He says, put your hope in God, because he is the lifter of your head. So I wanted to share that scripture with you today. I hope that it brought some clarity to you. And even if you are someone who spends a lot of time in prayer, who spends a lot of time in worship, who spends a lot of time in the word, but you are consistently striving in your spirit, in your soul every day, you are in a constant place of inner turmoil and chaos. You're not living in a place of rest. You're not living in a place of consistent peace. You're not living in a place of where you are not only able to see the goodness of God, but you're able to receive it and to walk fully in it and be in a place of thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory to him because of it, then I want to suggest that you need to learn how to renew your mind with the word of God. And I have a resource for you that I'm going to tell you about real quickly. I'm going to pray for you guys and we're going to get off here, okay? So the resource that I want to tell you about is a 21-day mindset reset. And so I have an institute. It's called Dawn Churchill Institute, and it is on teachable.com. I believe I put the link in the description of this video. And in fact, I think I put a direct link to my 21-day mindset reset course. And I just put a 10% off coupon on it today. And it's good for in the next 24 to 48 hours. I think it expires on August 25th, something like that. But if you will go check it out at that website link, that URL. I'm just going to read to you. It says the law of attraction in 21 days. So Ephesians 3:20. So unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power of God that works in us. See, there is a magnetic force within your spirit, within that part of you that knows God as Savior and Lord, that draws the goodness, grace, favor, and provision that God has for you. When you position yourself properly, you will magnetize good things from heaven, as every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Positioning yourself properly, I believe, means in this world of name it and claim it, in this world where we have so many different other mindset mastery gurus in our culture that are all about themselves, creating what they want. It is all very self-focused. It's very arrogant and it's selfishly self-focused. What they haven't done is they haven't said, Lord, my life belongs to you and I want to live the life that you've called me to walk. But as I walk the life that you've called me to lead, I know that you will make every provision for everything that I have need of, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and financially. Okay. So because you are a child of God, you are already connected to the maker of all things, but you must be directed by his spirit, which is within you. So you must allow faith, your words, your thoughts, and every other area of your life to be directed by the Holy Spirit. So my 21-day mindset reset course, it is my flagship product by which all my other mindset mastery courses have been written. And I just happen to be a transformational life coach, author, speaker, trainer, and pastor. And so I want to encourage you to go check it out today. Go to the URL link. If you decide to go ahead and come onto my campus and learn how to basically, learn how to train your soul, learn how to train your mind, your will, and emotions to walk in alignment with the Word of God. When you go to purchase and check out, if you'll just put 10% off in the coupon, you do need to use all capital letters, 10% off. You will get 10% off of that today. And I think that the coupon is good for like 24 to 48 hours. Okay, I'm just going to release a little bit of prayer over you guys, and I hope you guys have an amazing day. Do me a favor. Make sure you say hi in the comment sections, and make sure that you share this with somebody that you know could use this encouragement today. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask a window of heaven blessings over every single person that is under the sound of my voice right now, and those that will watch or listen to the replay in the future. Father God, I ask that by your Spirit, that you would begin to give them revelation and wisdom in their own lives to know where in their mind, their thoughts, their will, their choices, their emotions, their actions, everything, where they are reacting more to how the enemy is trying to besiege and destroy them. And they are not walking in alignment with your truth, your provision, your peace, your protection in their lives. Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm asking that you bring each one into an intimate relationship with you, that they might know you as Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father, that they might know you as Jesus, the one who laid down his life so that all of their sins could be forgiven, so they could have direct access to God the Father, that they might know you as that Holy Spirit, that still small voice behind their ear that leads and guides them in the way that they should go. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray window of heaven blessings upon each and every person that watches or listens to this video. I pray, Father God, your kingdom come, your will be done in their lives on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that something that was said today would be a catalyst for them beginning to walk in more close, intimate fellowship with you, and them receiving all of your goodness in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys, that's it. I hope you have an amazing day. Make sure you